Hello and welcome or welcome back. This podcast is based on a chapter I wrote for Coaching Perspectives 9 titled The Symbiotic Relationship of Being and Doing. So let's set it up. When somebody starts coaching, they come at it obviously with different perspectives. So some people come into coaching thinking, hey, this is really based on just what the client wants to talk about. Other people say, hey, this is really based on whoever's paying me, what they want addressed. And of course, during coach training, we learn that the client is the person being coached. If someone different than the client is paying you, they're called the sponsor. And it's a whole different ballgame because ultimately your confidentiality is owed to the client. Another thing that comes up is coaches think, okay, this is really about the job. It's about tasks. It's about specific goals and action steps. That's it. That's all we do. Some coaches come in thinking, okay, we're going to talk about problems, whatever the issues are. And it becomes this slippery slope into therapy or counseling instead of coaching. Another coach may come in and they focus completely on somebody's thoughts and values and internal beliefs, and they stay there. When we look at the coaching competencies published by the International Coaching Federation, and we look at the PCC markers, the specific behaviors to demonstrate those competencies, it is clear that coaching ultimately involves both the being and the doing. What do we mean by being and doing? So let's go there next. Being is simply things we don't really see. It's how somebody feels. It's their conscious and unconscious biases. It's their background, their culture, their humility, their skills, their desires, their motivation, their attitude, their awareness, flexibility, knowledge, wisdom, thoughts, reflections, insights, skills, dreams, all of the things that we can't really touch. The doing is what we can see and touch. The plans, somebody's resume, specific action steps, the tasks that they are doing. We can see them do those tasks. Behind the scenes of this thought, if we focus only on the doing, we'll get a short-term result. If we focus only on the being, we're missing opportunity for actual planning and action. When it is a truly symbiotic relationship, we work with both the being and the doing. As a coach, you're supporting long-term meaningful change. Now we're going to set it up with an example. I'll describe a client, and then we'll describe three different coaching approaches and analyze, hey, what's working, what isn't working with each of these approaches. So the client we'll call Mario. That's the name I used in the book. He's a high potential employee in a large organization. He has a master's degree in business, speaks two languages fluently. He's moving up through the ranks and wants to be a senior VP of operations within the next 5 years. That's Mario's goal. On the more personal side, he works out regularly, he's health conscious, and he's dating seriously. He's exploring spirituality, and he really cares about a healthy, happy, balanced life. Now we're going to have Mario in a scenario with each of three different coaches. So we'll start at the same point with each coach and talk through approaches. So the first coach we'll call Ken. He's been coaching executives for over 5 years. Ken is hired by companies to work with high potential leaders on how to effectively advance through the ranks and how to manage people. Ken has a personal preference for the doing side. He focuses on strategy and action planning. His approach to starting a new coaching engagement is meet with the supervisor of the client first to find out how the client is perceived, then to meet with HR to identify career path options. Then he meets with the client. So imagine Ken is hired by the company. He goes and he meets with each of these people in turn. So in his conversation with Mario's supervisor, who we'll call Lynn, Ken asks about Mario. Lynn explains that Mario is well-liked generally. He lacks leadership training. She believes he's very personable and effective with mid-level managers, not quite ready to supervise the senior leaders. Then Ken goes and meets with HR. Let's call the person there Heather. Heather explains the company's internal processes for supporting high potential employees. It includes a leadership academy, a cross-training, and challenging assignments, stretch assignments to build skills. Heather provides examples of timelines and trainings and stretch assignments. Ken then asks Heather what the potential career paths for Mario are and learns that Mario can either move into operations management or sales and marketing. Heather shares there's less interest from other high potentials in marketing and sales. Based on what he learned from Lynn, that Mario is well-liked generally, and what he heard from Heather, that there's more opportunity potentially in sales and marketing, Ken decides that Mario is going to be most successful in sales and marketing. Then he schedules his first meeting with his client. When they met, Ken asked Mario a few questions, asked him about his career, his skills, his interests. He suggests Mario complete a leadership 360 assessment for information on how Mario is perceived by others. And then he asks Mario to create a timeline of major milestones in his career thus far and to create his projection of where his career will go in the future for awareness and planning. So Ken sets up the 360, gets that going, gets the results, and schedules a debrief with Mario. After that, they schedule coaching. So Ken, in the next session, is asking Mario questions about his career and what he wants. Mario says he's interested in developing as a leader. He wants to have strong connections. He's interested in projects and teams. Ken states to Mario that based on the 360 results and Mario's interest in connections, the sales and marketing track is the best. Mario's hesitant. He said that he's been leaning toward operations and was unsure about the sales track. Ken asked Mario what he thought the sales track encompassed, and he suggested that Mario schedule time to shadow someone in sales. So Mario accepted that suggestion. In their next session, Ken invites Mario to talk about that experience shadowing someone in sales. And he asks about the process to move forward with that career path. Mario then says he has something else to discuss. Mario explains he's got a new boss that is pushing him to declare which path he wants, and he's still unsure. He does not feel like he clicks with the sales and marketing team. Ken asked Mario more questions about these perceptions and invited him to focus on his desire to advance his career. Mario agreed to rededicate himself to the effort. In their next session, when asked for an update, Mario talked about stress level, lack of time for exercise, pressure from his girlfriend. And so Ken asked Mario about strategies for managing the success and strategies for managing the time pressures. Again, Mario was talking about backing off the marketing and sales. And Ken invites Mario to think about the implications of backing off his long-term plan. So Mario says, yeah, he does want to advance his career and decides to talk to his girlfriend and ask her to be patient with him. So some of the questions Ken may have been asking during those conversations, what is your motivation for getting promoted? What are the implications of a promotion? By when do you want a promotion? What are your best options for a promotion? How will you prepare for a promotion? When interviewing, what achievements will you highlight? What will you say about your skills? What are the reasons for and against getting the promotion? Describe your transition into the new role. So, and oh, I love this one. How will you use the additional income to get them excited about that? So the wins that come out of this approach, Mario has specific action steps and he does make visible progress. The misses, Ken is deciding what's best for Mario before he even meets Mario. He's directing Mario to a specific assignment. He's assigning tasks to Mario. And he fails to address Mario's personal concerns, continually stirring him in the direction that Ken chose. So while you have the short-term impact, the chances of long-term success are limited here. Ken is functioning outside the parameters of a coach by acting as a consultant. Now let's take a completely different approach. Wind backwards, back to our initial introduction of our client, Mario. And now let's say that instead, Elena is engaged to coach Mario. Elena's background is in psychology, and she has been coaching people on meaning and purpose for years. She explores who the client is by understanding their history and then moves on to who they want to be as a person in the future. So her focus is on the being. She starts all of her coaching relationships with an assessment on personality so that she can understand her clients. She also likes to use assessments on values and on motivators. And then after she reviews the assessments, she meets with clients to confirm her impression based on the results. So let's say Elena's going to start coaching Mario. She meets with them, explains the importance of understanding who he is. She recommends several assessments, and Mario agrees to take them. Then during the debrief, Elena explains the reports and invites Mario to reflect on what he notices. She asks exploratory questions about him, his values, his motivators, where he wants to develop himself. When Mario says he wants to develop his leadership abilities, Elena asks about his motivators and how that influences him. He reflects and he states he's motivated by supporting and empowering others. And Elena goes on to ask what motivates him personally. And Mario says relationships and his own fitness. In their next meeting, Elena invites Mario to talk about himself. She asks for more information about his life, his family, his experiences, and priorities. And then, what has the greatest influence in his life? Mario says he's focusing on advancing his career first and ultimately wants a balanced life. He talks about work, relationships, family, and his own well-being to consider in defining his balance. Elena asks Mario about the potential cost of focusing on his career to the exclusion of the relationships and balance. He states that for the short term, he anticipates having to tip his scales toward the career, work longer, harder hours, so that in the long term, he can balance and level out. Elena asks him about the risk to that. And Mario admits it might become a habit to invest more time in his career. In their next session, Elena asks Mario about what he's been thinking and feeling. And they explore that. Mario shares that he's engaging in an opportunity to jump into a project for operations. He's excited about what he's learning and the new connections he's forging. Elena congratulates him and then asks him about his girlfriend. Mario says that things in the relationship are maintaining. Then she asks him about self-care. Mario says he's backing off some of the exercise because of the demands of the job. And Elena asks him about the impact. So Mario is hesitant. Elena is pushing him in terms of managing time so that he maintains balance. With a bit of nudging, he decides to put boundaries on his work time and to get back to exercising regularly. At their next session, when asked, Mario shares that he is following through with those commitments he made. And Mario said that he does realize working all the time is unsustainable for the long term. He goes on to say he does believe it's a worthwhile short-term commitment. Elaine again asks him about the risk to his health and to his relationship. Types of questions that Elena asks include, how do you prioritize work, family, and self-care? How do you use your time? How do your priorities align with your use of time? She'll ask him, what are your motivators to maintain balance? How important is your balance? How will you maintain balance? So the wins in this type of engagement include deep learning about self and personal awareness. So Mario's much more reflective, aware of who he is and where he's at. The misses in this type of approach: starting with assessments before exploring with the client whether they're even interested in them or whether the client will be served by them. The miss in terms of planning for his career and where he wanted to go, because the focus was consistently shifted back to balance, to the relationship, to personal care. There's a miss in terms of tangible measures for progress and success, and a failure to explore that idea the client had of a short-term commitment for the long-term benefit. That was an approach on the beam. Now we're going to shift again. Rewind, go back to Mario right at the beginning. And in this case, we're going to say that his coach is Carolina. And Carolina's background is organizational development. She works to understand her clients and support their self-awareness. She works with them based on who they are to develop their plans and strategies. So working with the being and the doing. When she starts a new coaching engagement, she begins with an introductory session to explore it. Hey, what is coaching? What are the different approaches? How do we best partner to move forward based on what it is the client wants? She shares an opportunity to have time to explore the client's big picture. And from there, the client being empowered to really choose, hey, what are the priorities, as well as being aware of what the influencing factors are. So in this scenario, let's say that Carolina schedules with Mario. They explore what he wants, his ideal outcome, what might get in the way, and how he wants to move forward. she asked them how he will measure the success of a coaching relationship. Mario explains he wants to advance his career and he wants the coaching to support his progress. And Carolina asks what else he wants from the coaching. And Mario shares several personal goals. So Carolina confirms that Mario's complete in those responses and talks about how he wants to work together in this coaching relationship. So after explaining several options, Mario chooses, okay, let's do that big picture exploration so that he's aware of goals in all different areas because they do influence other goals and they compete with other goals. When they meet again, Carolina asks him about what he's thinking, what he's feeling, and they refine. So as they move forward, Mario has chosen to do the big picture exploration. And another of the options that Mario chose were a couple of assessment tools that Carolina offered. And as they move forward, they schedule the big picture exploration. She asks Mario what he wants in all different areas. And Mario, from that process, refines his priorities and how he's going to manage them. He takes the assessments, and together they review the reports. Mario is invited to share what he's noticing, what he's thinking, what his reaction is to these reports. Then, as they move forward, Carolina invites Mario to prioritize his focus during each conversation. And as they dig into the topic of the conversation, Mario shares, hey, I want to commit some extra time at work for a period of time so that I can advance my career. And Carolina supports him in planning for that, what his strategies are. And as a result, Mario figures out that it will make sense for him to talk to his girlfriend about her goals and his interest in advancing his career and how they can balance that. Mario also explores strategies for maintaining his fitness while he's committing the extra time at work. So Mario gets really creative with his solutions for that. Things like taking the stairs instead of the elevator and parking further away and still managing exercise breaks and stretch breaks while he's working. He plans a conversation with his girlfriend to share with her what he wants to do and his thoughts around that. When he gets back together with his coach, Elena asks Mario, okay, so how's it going? What's the update? And Mario says, well, he had the conversation with the girlfriend and she agreed that during this time he was committing extra time to work, she was going to commit extra time to something she wanted to do. And so they figured out a balance for themselves. The types of questions Carolina is asking during this conversation is, what are your priorities? How does your use of time compare with your priorities? What do you gain from your work? Describe what you value. And then, which career path do you want? She goes on to also invite the awareness of self. What does it mean to you? What strategies will you implement? What is self-care to you? How do you want to incorporate fitness in your new schedule? How will you balance time for work and your relationship? What are you learning through this process? So in this case, Carolina is focused on Mario, both the being and the doing. and the client is truly empowered to make the choices in terms of the direction of their career and how they balance it with their personal life. The coaching is completely tailored to the client. It is the client who is choosing their own career path. It is the client who is figuring out how to balance the increased work time with his relationship and with his self-care. And as a result of this symbiotic relationship with being and doing, Carolina, as coach, is supporting Mario for that long-term meaningful change because all parts of who Mario is are addressed. At the beginning, we mentioned that this is covered in the ICF competencies and in the PCC markers, the behaviors that evaluate the competencies. They even, in those documents, call out the terms who and what. The idea behind our responsibility as a coach is that we are called upon to truly work in a holistic manner, to work with the whole person, both their being and their doing. Because in working with both the being and the doing, we are truly supporting that client to choose their own priorities, to manage their own competing priorities, and to develop strategies to move forward so that they are where they want to be in the future. Have a fabulous rest of your day. I'm Kathy. Come visit us at www.coachcert.com, the website for the Center for Coaching Certification.